You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As we always do, we kick off the show with a sense of how the markets have been moving throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Sasfin Wealth's David Shapiro to take a look at the market movements and see what they mean. Good evening, Uncle David. Happy New Year to you. Lovely to catch up with you. Today we were pleasantly surprised by US data. I want to start there because for the last 2 weeks and for the longest time, markets have been on edge. Everything's been uncertain. There's been a lot of confusion. There's been a lot of panic. But today, US data came out. US CPI came out surprising to the downside. And equity markets absolutely loved that, especially ours.
Well, you know, they've been so nervous about inflation and what it means. And I don't think the Fed governor, you know, Jay Powell, has given any kind of understanding or direction to the market, and therefore the confusion or uncertainty has caused the kind of moves that we saw. And immediately these numbers came out, the view that rates would go down sometimes like September, October, that far into the year, they've reduced it now, say, okay, we'll get again probably by halfway through the year. But if this trend continues, which a number of people have actually alluded to, you know, believing that inflation will come down, then we might get more of the same. But it just shows you how the mindset changed so dramatically, you know, so fast. And just looking at the U.S. markets, you know, the Nasdaq is now up over 2%, S&P well over 1%. So there've been big gains there. And if you look at the raw numbers, It's just a move in the right direction. You know, they're not dramatic falls in inflation. It's just that the market was geared for a lot worse.
When we look at these moves and we look at the responses that markets are giving, does it look like this is going to be sustained? I mean, I look at the moves that we got last week and the moves that we got when we got other U.S. announcements that weren't so positive. I mean, I think back to the December rate decision that first gave us an indication that we would be seeing less rate cuts into 2025. That sent the markets into a tailspin, and it's been kind of trying to recover since effectively that announcement. Is this kind of recovery something that could potentially be short-lived, or
we've still got Mr. Trump? You know, and that's the missing factor.
Who's going to be inaugurated next week?
You know, that's exactly why. So at the moment, on the numbers that are coming out now, it's looking good. You know, it looks like this is going to continue to improve, but we don't know what's going to happen with tariffs. But you know, even yesterday, the announcement came that his advisors are saying, just take it cooler. Let's, you know, we'll approach it in a much more organized way. So I think the fear is that, you know, by increasing taxes without thinking about it, you're really going to throw the global economy into a speed wobble, you know, into a real wobble, and probably change the axis of the Earth's spin. So, there are deep concerns about that, particularly in China. And I don't think there's any benefit out of that. You know, it doesn't pay to weaken the rest of the world, no matter what your policies are, because eventually it reflects, it will come back to you. You know, even though the U.S. economy is a standalone economy, you know, there's a lot of internal sales. It's got its own internal markets. But still, they're not separate, completely separate from what's happening in the rest of the world. So I think that hopefully there's some adults in his in his cabinet, you know, who can actually say to him, look, Mr. Donald, you know, understand what the kind of damage that you will do to other economies, not going to help us.
So definitely not taking into or not having the markets operate in isolation. It's all good and well to have the U.S. economy say that they are stronger, obviously benefiting greatly. And we're starting to see those benefits of that stimulus package that came out in the pandemic. I think we forgot about that package for the longest time. And now we're starting to see the fruits of that, where inflation isn't behaving the way we thought it might.
No.
The U.S. economy is holding stronger for longer. But it was a significant stimulus package.
It was, and yes, the benefits are still there, but it's also a very vibrant economy. We can't ignore what's happening at the top end of the market. We can't ignore the developments that are happening in AI, the continuation of money that's going in, the richness of the top end of the S&P. the Mag 7 Plus. Well, you can add a few extra as well. And that's what's driving the, that's really what's driving the U.S. But they're not in isolation. You know, they can't operate really in isolation. And I think that's where all these other worries came in. You know, what's the benefit of tariff increases? You know, what's the whole understanding? What do you want to achieve at the end of the day? You know, and I think a lot of people confused about what the ultimate aim of Trump is, you know, make America great again. What does that mean? You know, make everybody else weak again. Well, so, okay.
Mm.
So I'm just hoping that he sobers up a little, or certainly his cabinet sober up and say, okay, look, we're strong enough. We don't really need tax reductions. You know, we don't need these things. We can, if we just carry on along the same trajectory now, we're going to be fine.
Mm. And where, as that sense prevails, we start to see it in the other markets as well. I mean, I'm looking at the Rand as well. 19 Rand 20 is where we started the week, not off the back of Rand weakness of any kind. Now we're back at 18 Rand 78, showing that markets, when they do start to stabilize and sense does start to prevail, that things go back to normal.
Exactly. And that can happen fast. You know, you spoke about 1920. We're now in the 1870s. If you, Jimmy, you've got to look at the U.S. bond market, because there were some big falls in yields on the 10-year, down 13.5 pips. You know, so we were worried that the 10-year was heading towards 5, which was kind of a break point, you know, a nervy point. And it's now at 4.65 heading down. So that's the impact that's had. And also the fears were at the 30-year bond, you know, which is the that's the level that people set their mortgage rates from. You know, there was also worries about where that would go. That's down to 4.88. So there's been big reversals in U.S. bonds, and of course that's put pressure on the dollar. So we could, if this continues, let's say for after Trump, he's not so aggressive on that. Yes, we can see a massive improvement in the Rand, as we saw towards the end of last year. So that's what we have to watch. It's got nothing to do with South Africa. It's got nothing to do with us. That's where it is, you know. It's all going to be dollar.
Mm. Speaking of things that have to do with South Africa, I looked at the local performers. Financial stocks finally coming back off the back of those softer inflation numbers in the U.S. Late session today, the all share, or the top 40 gaining about 1.8% for the day, but around 1.2% of that coming through in that hour when we got that inflation print. What are you looking at for this year, Uncle David, in terms of stocks that could potentially look good for you, sectors that could look good? Why are you approaching those specific sectors, looking into what we could be in for?
It's hard to read South Africa. I don't think it's as easy. There's some very good operational businesses, smaller businesses. I was just looking through Karooooo's numbers now, and they're producing fantastic results. And I think that's still happening in South Africa. It's not happening in Singapore. So when you start to unpack some of the smaller businesses, there are companies that are holding their own. Our big fear, Jimmy, is the resource market. You know, we've got to see stabilization in resource prices, and the Rand steady, costs come down, and production start to pick up. You know, that's where we're going to make the big money. Iron ore prices are still below 100. So, below 100, we need China also to stabilize, you know, for them to steady their economy. And I think that's where the gains are going to come from. So you've got to be very hopeful on what happens in China. From our point of view, I was just, the repo rate, if I'm not mistaken, is still around about 7.75%. That's high. That means that your overdraft rates are still over 11%. You know, your prime rate, you might be able to negotiate something lower than that. But, 11.25%, it's very difficult for SA Incorporated, you know, for businesses to operate when they're still borrowing money at those levels. So it's essential that, inflation is heading in the right direction, but it's essential that the Reserve Bank also start to recognize, hold on, we need rates to come down dramatically. And I know they stick to their policies, but somewhere along the line, we need something to give in that direction, to help the consumer, to help banks, to help businesses.
So then, Uncle David, before I let you go, what's the rate cut call for the 30th of January? That's the first meeting we've got.
We might have one. Yeah, we might get a 0.25%. But you know what? After that, nix. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
We might get the one now, which is a catch-up for the US's December rate cut. You know, so we might get it. But, I mean, if you look at the forward markets after that, there's not much hope of much more happening on that. That's scary. You know, that's so we need that. We need someone to come and give us a bit of love, you know, consumers and that, just to put more money in your back pocket so that we can get this economy going. So there are quite a few factors out there. That's why, you know, excuse me, going on, when we talk about American exceptionalism, that economy is so strong, but Europe, you know, Europe, the UK, South Africa, so many others, Canada, you name it, all under pressure. Even when I was in Australia, everybody was moaning and groaning there, you know, all about the same factors. So we're not alone.
What makes the South Africa picture different? Because obviously I was looking at some of the interesting stats saying that from a bond perspective, our bond yields are sitting at some of the most attractive, and our inflation has come below 3%. We've got inflation levels that are bordering on what the US has got at the moment. So there's no way that South Africa is not fighting inflation.
Yeah, so we are. So if you look at those bond rates and you look at your inflation, right, there's a massive real return. You know, which is the other aspect of it. So there is the capacity to actually bring down rates. You know, there is that. Anyway, but listen, I'm not the monetary theorist on that. I'm just a grumpy investor.
Well, the monetary policies will be decided soon, and as will the budget speech that we'll get at some point, and I'm sure you and I will catch up around both of those events. For now, Uncle David, thank you so much for the time, as always. David Shapiro of Sasfin Wealth on the market movements throughout the day and the sense of optimism that seems to be slowly creeping in.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.